Hello, this is William Hemphill, host of the Faith and Family Matters podcast. I am a pastoral counselor that works to help individuals strengthen faith and also help strengthen couples and families. Just want to talk from the subject today, and I'm talking off the cuff with this. Does your faith allow crisis to happen? Does your faith allow crisis to happen, or how does your faith handle crisis? And I'm thinking about this because I just saw the news about Bishop Carlton Pearson going home to be with the Lord, or as a term he used later, transitioning into another level of consciousness. I believe that's the term he used on the video he did. And just thinking a little bit about his life, but then about the lives of people I've worked with in my own life. How does our faith handle crisis? I think it was in the movie they made about him, where I believe one of his transitions from Pentecostalism to maybe a more new thought, I think that's what they called it, type of belief concerning faith in Christ. That transition happened in part because someone he loved dearly passed away, and that person did not know or did not confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. As a matter of fact, they kept on living in their own ways, which, if I remember from the movie correctly, weren't necessarily as good. And this caused a crisis in his faith, which led to his beliefs and more new thought, understanding that, I believe as he said it, Christ died for all. And because Christ died for all and the power of God is so strong, that all of us would eventually be in the presence of God. So that's my best understanding of his faith. But I thought about the moment of crisis. And here's what comes to mind. A lot of times what we teach in our churches and different things don't help us handle crisis very well. You know, I'm a counselor. And so I deal with grief, with loss, with trauma, with different things like that. And I found that in my offices sometimes that people have a hard time dealing with crisis in faith. I've known people who've gotten divorced and they felt like because God, the scripture talks about that God does not like divorce, that not only could they not get married again, but that God didn't love them. That's a crisis in faith. And in some of these cases, people had gotten divorced because, frankly, it probably was the best thing for their mental health, for their emotional health, for their physical health. So they made a decision, but yet it caused a crisis in faith. I've known people who've dealt with grief and loss. Why did my loved one have to die at such an early age? And then this person who may not be living well and harming other people seem to get a long life. That's a crisis in faith. You know, I tithe and give my offerings to the church. I'm faithful in attendance, yet I lose my job. I lose my home. I use all of these things. Why does this happen to me? A crisis in faith. I even think about some of my own crisis in faith. I remember a time where it seemed like everything was going crazy in my life. I had friends dying. I had hell going on in the home, just basically to say it. And everywhere I went, there seemed to be no peace. And I began questioning God at some point because I was like, hey, I'm trying to serve you and you're letting all this stuff happen in my life, a lot of it which I felt like I didn't have control of. A crisis in faith. So How do we handle crises in faith? First of all, I would say to have a relationship with God, and here's what I mean by that. Not just church duties, but one where you talk to God and you listen to hear from God, speak to your spirit. And here's what I mean. That's important because sometimes you have to go and talk to God when you don't understand why things are going on. I had to do that in that season. I was like, I remember taking my walks. I remember being mad at God and lamenting toward God. There's a book called Lamentations in the Bible. We need to have that as part of our theology because sometimes part of recovering from grief, hurt, and loss is we have to complain for a moment. But you've heard a lot of people say, well, complain and don't do nothing. God can't hear your complaints anyway. That doesn't help in a crisis of faith. Sometimes we have to complain. We have to cry. We have to get mad and angry. I've gotten mad and angry at God before. We have to be able to do those things. We also have to understand that God is a gracious God. And so here's what I mean by that. Just because we have messed up and sinned in some way does not mean that God does not love us or that God does not forgive us or that God does not care for us. God's grace is bigger than anything that we can understand. I like to say it this way when I talk to people and even talk to myself. Jesus Christ died for our sins before any of us who are here presently were even born, which simply means that God knew all the stupid stuff we were going to do and died so that we could have love and grace and life anyway. I hope that touches someone, especially if you're in a crisis of faith. There are a lot of people who are doing deconstruction of their faith, and a lot of people feel like that's a bad thing. I don't think that's a bad thing, because what you're doing in deconstruction, you're looking at how you grew up, what has worked for you theologically, what's worked for you in worship, what's worked for you in life, and you're trying to examine that in light of your own experience and relationship with God. I actually feel that deconstruction, if it's done properly, you probably end up with a stronger faith in God because it becomes like the difference between Jacob and Israel. If you look in the scriptures, you know, Jacob would often talk about the Lord being the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. He's the God of my fathers and the God of my grandfathers, but he's not my God, but I would call him that, the God of Abraham and Isaac. Then Jacob had that experience and became known as Israel. So no longer was it the God of Abraham and Isaac, but then it was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who became Israel. In other words, when we do that deconstruction, especially in a crisis of faith, when we're asking God questions, hopefully our faith is big enough to ask God questions and to be patient in seeking answers, we can actually end up on the other side with a stronger faith. And so I just wanted to leave some of these thoughts today as we think about how we handle when our faith gets in a crisis. Some of you may agree with where Carlton Pearson went. Some of you may not agree. I do know he believed what he believed because, man, he gave up a whole lot to move where he went. And I will say this much, just from the videos I saw, he handled death a lot more gracious than a lot of us who are often waiting to go see Jesus. He seemed to be at perfect peace. I truly hope in my case that when it's all said and done, I'm at perfect peace, ready to meet with the Lord, and that I would have left everything I can on this earth and have accomplished my mission and purpose and blessed other people. Crisis in faith, how do we handle it? As I get ready to close with these thoughts, I just want to give you some things. Number one, connect with God and be open, honest, and vulnerable. Be open and honest and vulnerable with where you are. If you're angry with God, just let God know that you're angry. The Lord knows anyway. If you're sad, let the Lord know you're sad. If you need to grieve and complain and lament, just complain and lament to the Lord because God is big enough to hear your complaints, your laments, and all those things. Be vulnerable with the Lord. Second of all, recognize that as you grow or as we grow, our faith grows and changes because we're growing as people. You shouldn't be the same person at 55 that you were at 25 or at 15 or 5. We should have grown, and that includes spiritually and with our faith. Number three, I would say this. Study the scriptures for yourself. Don't just wait on the pastor. Don't just wait on those who teach. Dig in and study for yourselves. Take notes. I remember when I was at the Baptist Student Union, we used to have these little faith journals that they gave us. And the short summary was you'd pick a scripture or a passage of scripture for the day. You would read it. You'd write in your journal what your understanding was of it. Notice what I said, what your understanding was, which meant you had to interact with that scripture. And then you would write down what action that you felt like you might need to take in regards to you reading that scripture. And there were some days I read scriptures and I probably would write down or think about, I don't understand. That's okay, because some things we don't understand. But then some things God shows you that allow you to begin to take action the best way you can. And so I think that's number three. And then number four, I would say, give yourself grace and forgiveness as you continue to walk. This life ain't easy, but we try to stay connected in faith to the God as best as we can. We try to stay connected to the Lord the best way we possibly can, knowing that we are all in need of God's grace and that this is a journey. So this is William Hemphill, thanking you for hearing some of my impromptu thoughts on the passing of Bishop Carlton Pearson, who did bless my life tremendously, and on dealing with crisis and faith. If you would like to work with me, you can go to my website at www.faithandfamilyempowerment.com. Take care and have a blessed day.